guests, please join them so that you can check your child in. Our sermon text this morning is Genesis 5 in its entirety. That will be found on page 4 of your house Bible. If you don't have a Bible or if you know someone who needs one, please take that one with you today. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this, your word. We thank you for all of your word. And we pray, Father, now what we have sung, what many of us may be feeling, the need for you to speak, and for you to plant your word deep in us. Father, we pray that as we hear, we would have ears to hear. Ears in our heart and our mind, that what you have to say in your word, we would love it. We would love it and embrace it, be given life by it. Correction, conviction, encouragement, hope, help. Father, we pray that your word would be active now, as we know that it is, in our hearts and minds, that we might love you, that we might turn in obedience to you. We love you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if I were to tell you that there were only two kinds of people in the world, how would you begin to categorize people in your mind? Maybe you look through the world and you see two categories that you often see. There are rich people. There are poor people. Maybe you're constantly judging people as athletes or geeks. I don't know if we still do that anymore. Maybe looking for constantly to see if someone is liberal or conservative. Maybe you see the world is divided between those who are tech savvy and those who walk around with their phones in their pockets unknowing that their flashlight is on. Maybe you see city folks, maybe you see rednecks, maybe you see dog people, and on the other side of dog people are crazy people. Genesis 5 is showing us that from the beginning, the world is now filled with two kinds of people, two peoples. It's the title of today's sermon, Two Peoples. Every person that you ever meet, including you yourself, is one of two categories of people that began in Genesis 4 and 5. Everyone you meet and you yourself are in one of two categories of people. And we find those categories in the form of the lineage, the family tree of Cain, back in chapter 4, and now Seth here in chapter 5. Those two categories are, number one, those who call upon the name of the Lord. Those who call upon the name of the Lord. And two, those who refuse him. Those who do not. Those who are of Cain bring their own works to God for worship and then become bitter when he rejects their work. And those who are of Seth, who come to God in faith, come to God humbly. We see these two in the lines of Cain compared with the line of Seth. Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5 are two genealogies which are to be compared and contrasted as exemplary of what the world is now like on this side of the fall in creation. Remember, as we go through Genesis, we're continuing to see what is God like. We're continuing to see what is our world like. And we're seeing that as early as Genesis 4 and 5, there was a split of two kinds of people throughout history, those who call upon the name of the Lord and those who do not. Which are you? Are you of those who call upon the name of the Lord as Seth did? Or are you in Cain, so to speak? Living in lust, living in anger, living in murder, living in the flesh, building your self-protective city as Cain did. Here's what we're going to see in Genesis chapter 5. These are those who are the people of God. These are those who are calling upon the name of the Lord. And you'll see them, if you'll pay attention carefully, in the people of Seth, Enoch, and Noah. Seth, Enoch, and Noah. Those who are the people of God who call upon his name are those who worship God, those who walk with God, and those who wait for God. That's what it means to be part of the people of God who call upon the name of the Lord, those who worship God, those who walk with God, and those who wait for God. Friends, maybe today this passage would be an encouragement to you. Maybe you would have never thought of a genealogy like Genesis 5 as a place for encouragement. But if you're a Christian, there's a lot of encouragement for us here. In fact, there's a lot more than we have time to do in one sermon, for sure. Might you just have a reminder of exactly who you are if you're a Christian, if you're walking in faith? Maybe for you, this passage would be like a wake-up call. I'm not part of the people of God at all. Thought I was, I'm not. Maybe you are, but you'll find there's a lot in my life that looks like Cain. Those who are the people of God worship God, they walk with God, and they wait for God. See first that the people of God worship God. Those who are of God, walking with him, who are worshiping him, calling upon his name, they worship him. We see that in Seth. So actually, we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 26. Chapter 4, verse 26, the first introduction to Seth. Cain kills Adam and Eve's other son, Abel. who had offered worship by faith accepted to God. But then God provides another son, a new line, a new lineage from Adam. And in chapter 4, verse 26, this is what it says of Seth, the son who replaces Abel. Genesis 4, 26, to Seth also was born a son. That's not Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. That is a later verse. So let me go to Genesis 4 in my Bible. I'm so glad we're in Genesis and not like Habakkuk. It would take me a while to get there with you. It is Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. To Seth also was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. And you get to the end of the verse, which makes this the right verse. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. When Seth was born, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. What does that mean? It means they worshiped God. They worshiped God. One commentary says, Cain's firstborn and successors pioneered cities and the civilized arts, but Seth's firstborn and successors pioneered worship. The idea here is, if you look at the end of genealogy in chapter 4 of Cain, which was last week, and how his worship turned into a culture of lust and murder, now there is Seth and there is a people gathered over here together who are embarking and pioneering in worshiping God together as a people. People calling upon the name of the Lord together is counter Cain's city, which gathered for lust and murder and self-protection. From the beginning, there were people of God gathered together to worship God. This was not just a lineage of individual worship, but people coming together to worship and cry out to the Lord together. The word Lord there in 4:26 is Yahweh. Although it was very unlikely that they would have actually known that name at the time. That seems to be introduced to Moses later in the book of Exodus. But since Moses is writing Genesis, he clarifies who is the God that they were worshiping. It is the God of the Hebrews. It is the God of the Bible. It is not just a God generically. It is God. They called on his name, his reputation, the reputation of Yahweh, the Creator. They chose to worship God. His reputation and his promises were in their minds. Whereas Cain's city entirely forgot God, Seth's people are defined by worshiping God. And church, let me encourage you, do not take for granted the joy of gathering with the saints for worship. Don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted brothers and sisters with whom you gather together to call upon the name of the Lord by worshiping him and praying to him. Consider today your friends, your family, your circles may be rather enjoying Cain's city. What a joy it is to be here gathered together with the descendants of Seth, as it were, in faith and worship to the Lord. Each of us must consider, am I a part in the line of those who worship God or those who deny God? Those who give God my worship, or those who refuse him? Genesis 4 and 5 are showing us two lineages of faith, not just birth. Those who reject God, like Cain and his people, those who worship God, like Seth and his descendant. This is what Seth began, people who worship God. Do you acknowledge in your heart and in your mind that God is the maker of the world and that your life is his? That he owns this world, that he rules this world, that he is wonderful and holy and he deserves your worship. In the world, there are two kinds of people, those who do worship him and those who do not. From the very beginning, this is how people began to be split in the world. Those who worship God and those who do not. Those who worship God, we see, are those who walk with God. Those who worship God, we see, are those who, secondly, walk with God. And we see this in Enoch. God's people walk with him. As we come through the genealogy of Seth, we find Enoch. We find one that's not like the other ones. Did you hear it? We got just one more sentence of commentary by Moses. Has made for a lot of commentary over the generations. Recall that it was normal for God to be heard walking in the garden. It was God who first walked before Enoch walked with God. After Adam and Eve had sinned, what did they hear? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Remember, part of the assumption there is that when they heard God walking, Adam and Eve would go to be with God, and it was supposed to go walk with him, go be with him. They would go worship him. They would go to the garden. And when they sinned, they ran away from God. They hid from God outside the garden. Now, as we look in the genealogy, we find Enoch is said to have been walking with God. Knowing that this is one thing about Enoch, this one thing about Enoch tells us everything there is to know about him. In verse 23, chapter 5, verse 23, thus the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Most commentators believe that this would mean that Enoch went to be with the Lord, that he did not suffer death as Elijah, later in the first, second Kings. But Enoch's description about his life and about him was that he walked with God, a description of his whole life. This is everything we know about Enoch, about his life. He walked with God. Friends, what an epitaph to consider for your gravestone. He walked with God. She walked with God. This means he did not just worship God in song. He didn't just go to church. He was a man who walked with God, who lived with God. This is the beginning of a way we describe the testimony of the people of God through history. Through the Old Testament, right into the New Testament to me and you who are in Christ. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says, Noah walked with God. Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me, go with me. And be blameless. In Genesis 24, Isaac is looking for a wife. He refers to his God as the Lord before whom he walked. Genesis 48, verse 15, Jacob blesses his sons, referring to God as the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. It becomes the command of Israel for how they are supposed to live. We follow Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It becomes the command for how Israel as a whole is supposed to live when they go into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 12 says, And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. It says this many different places in the book of Deuteronomy. Walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We come to find that walking with God is to be like God, to imitate him, to walk in his ways. Enoch wasn't just hanging out with God on the weekend. He was following God. He was walking with him, following God's ways. And listen, we too, if we are people of faith as Seth, if we are those who call upon the name of the Lord, we too ought to be found walking in his ways, walking with God, not just worshiping God at a gathering, but actually walking with God. The New Testament is filled, it's replete with language about how we ought to walk with God. We come to see that Enoch is not someone who is really different than us, but someone whom we ought to imitate. So often we look at Enoch and go, he was a man who walked with God, and then he was not. So, well, man, there's that guy. I mean, never be Enoch. I'm stuck, you know, being Nathan. We're supposed to imitate him. He's an example. He's an example in the line of faith of walking with God. Of course, most of us here are going to die. In fact, if the Lord does not return, we're all going to die. But Enoch's faith is an example for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we've been in Hebrews the last couple of weeks, because there we see the line of Abel down to Enoch, down to Abraham. And in Hebrews chapter 11, remembering all of the people of God from Adam down to today, Hebrews remembers Enoch as in that line of the people of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because," which is actually what the words in Genesis 5 mean, "he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." Now the example here for us in Hebrews chapter 11 is not if you have a lot of faith, you won't have to die either. And we're all left sitting around guilty. I mean, gosh, we're all just, our whole church is dying. None of us are taken up into the clouds like Enoch. That's not the point of this passage. The point of this passage is not if you have enough faith, you'll be taken from earth and not see death. No, the point is Enoch was just a man like us, and he had faith. He was in the line of Seth, and he had faith. We're in the line of faith. We're to have faith in Christ. We're to put our faith in God. We're to walk with God in our lives. We are a part of that great cloud of witnesses that began with Abel, that continued with Seth, that went on through Genesis 5, all the way to Noah, all the way to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Christ, apostles, me, and you. The point is not how different that he is, but that if we have put our faith in Christ and we're walking in faith, we're of the same line. Look back at our ancestors. They lived by faith. They walked with God. So the encouragement is in Genesis chapter 5, keep walking with God. Just walk with God. Go with him. I want you to consider a few ways the New Testament really crystallizes, now that Christ has come and we have the Holy Spirit, what it means now for us to walk with God. In many ways, our walk is significantly sharper, more knowledgeable, more powerful than what Enoch could have been. That's another sermon for another day. How can you walk with God? How do people walk with God? My wife and I, we love going on walks. I don't know if I should say that. Colette loves to go on walks, and I love her. So I sometimes go on them with her. I know what that means. Let's go. Let's get the dog. Let's get the leash. Let's go walk next to each other. How do you walk with God? The New Testament gives us instruction on how to walk with God. Number one, walking with God is walking by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 clarifies this as, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Maybe that'd be a good chapter for afternoon reading for you. We walk by faith, not by sight. That is defining of the people of God throughout history. We walk by faith, not by sight. And isn't this the lesson of Genesis so far? We're living in a spiritual world. We're living in a world that only makes sense in the invisible things, not the fleshly things, not the appearance things, not the things that you can see with your eyes. The meaning of the world, the essence of the world, is spiritual first, because God is spiritual. Cain's city was entirely built on material things: food, entertainment, industry. Not to say that those things are in themselves evil, but it was all things that you could see. They were living by sight. It was appearance. It was about what you can hold in your hands, what you can buy with your money. But not Seth's people. As opposed to Cain's city, Seth's people, not Enoch's people, not Noah, we walk by faith. We live and we operate not by things that we can see with our eyes. We navigate our spiritual world with spiritual eyes. This is how everyone must come to believe in Jesus today and be a part of the people of God. Not only through things like physical evidence for the resurrection or through the credibility of Scripture, but by spiritually hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and believing him as God's Son, believing that he died for your sins, believing that what is at the center of all time and all history is, I have been created for God, I've sinned against the Creator, and he sent his Son Jesus to die for me and raise from the dead that I might be forgiven from my sins. I deserve death. Jesus died in my place. You cannot come to this without faith. And not just faith that it happened in history, the trust that God will actually apply Jesus' blood to your life. That God will actually apply Jesus' death to your life. Being a Christian begins, continues, and ends in faith. In faith. People of God, walk by faith. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your trial, walk with God by faith. Walk with God by faith. Know what God says about you in the world. Know what God says in His Word. Walk by God in believing. When it comes to your marriage, when it comes to your workplace, when it comes to parenting fussy children, I didn't mean to look at you right when I said that, Michaela, I'm sorry. When you're working with your boss, your neighbors, see the world spiritually and live it by faith. If we live by sight, we're going to be tortured. I mean, it is, I don't know how people do it. It's grievous. It's hopeless. It's frustrating. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Living by faith is putting our hope and our trust in God. And simply obeying Him and trusting Him by walking with Him. Do everything. Do everything that you do by believing in God. And walking by faith, not by sight. That's what Enoch did. What we should do. Walk by faith. Number two, Christians, we should keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. A fundamental way that you walk with God, according to the New Testament, for Christians, is to keep in step with the Spirit. Go in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, you get the picture that you are kind of walking with God through wet sand. Maybe through a jungle with fresh mud. And we're going to get this picture that everywhere you see the Spirit step, that's where you step. Keep step with the Spirit of God. And look in chapter 5, verse 16 through 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Now that walk is Enoch's walk. This is how you should live. This is what you should do. This is what faith looks like in the people of God. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The more you read the Bible, the more you ought to hear Cain's city. But the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Those who are of the flesh, those who are of the Spirit. Those who are of Seth, those who are of Cain. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And here, Paul, I warn you. Be warned. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's the testimony of Genesis chapter 2. There's one kind of people in the world, but then there's the other, verse 22. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. One way of saying we've gone from the city of Cain to the city of Enoch, of Seth. We've been crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, if we are saved by the Spirit of God, we're made alive by the Spirit of God, Galatians chapter 2, then let us keep walking with the Spirit of God. And that's what it means to become a Christian, is the Spirit of God makes us reborn and reawakens us. Then let's keep walking with the Holy Spirit. We don't get saved by the Holy Spirit and then just walk in flesh. Keep walking with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And notice, Paul literally shows us where those steps are. He shows us where those stones are, where those spots in the mountain are. He tells us this is what walking in the Spirit looks like. Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness. We can kind of see here Cain's two, the two cities. Cain in the flesh, Seth and Enoch by faith. And the steps of the Spirit are specified that we might walk in them. Follow the work of the Holy Spirit, which is bringing about God's character in us. Recall how Cain's city culminated in lust and murder. Look back in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. One of the things that Paul is doing is making sure the church knows that they ought to be loving one another, each other. Otherwise, we're going to end up looking like Cain's city. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul has a sense of humor. You guys keep taking bites out of each other. One day you're going to wake up and realize you've eaten each other alive. Don't do that. Quit doing that. That's what Cain's city did. Oh, this man hurt my feelings. I killed him. He bruised me. I killed him. We don't do that. We don't do that, church. That's what makes us part of the people of God, walking with God as we keep in step with the Spirit, which is bearing the fruit of love and patience, self-control, gentleness. These are things that keep in step with the Spirit that we might be walking with God. That's how we ought to walk in our lives. Thirdly, walk with Christ. Walk with Christ. Or you could say, walk in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 puts it this way, and you can find different variations of how apostles use this language. As you received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. As you received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Colossians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Romans, they're all the same. They all function the same way, largely most of the Pauline epistles. Doctrine on the front, how you should live on the back. And here in Colossians, Paul is saying, if you've received Jesus like this, then you should walk in him. It's a description of us living out the gospel of Jesus Christ, living out his character in our lives. Walking with God doesn't mean we just kind of go for a walk together, but that we actually walk in his ways. So you see through Ephesians chapter 5, for example, we are to walk in love as Christ died for the church. Ephesians chapter 2, we're to walk in new works that we're created in. Ephesians 5, we're to walk as children of the light, trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, look carefully how you walk. Be careful with your walk. Walk, watch how you're walking. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're doing in your life. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you're going to walk with God, we're going to try to seek and understand what the will of the Lord is. We're walking with him in obedience. And what that means all through the New Testament is that we're looking at the person of Jesus Christ for how to live our lives. I love to make fun of corny church culture things. We are so good at being corny. And particularly, I think we peaked in the 90s when I was in high school. We used to have these WWJD bracelets. And they might have saved people's lives. I don't know. I made up all kinds of alternative phrases for what WWJD meant because I don't think I was walking with the Lord during most of those days. But it is a good reminder, and it still haunts me in some ways today. How do you walk? What do you do with your life? The simple, what does WWJD stand for? What would Jesus do? It's so simple, it's easy to make fun of, but it's so profound. I still see people with these bracelets today, and I just want to honor them as thank you for sticking it out. Thank you for reminding me. Because I want to make fun of it. But it's just, it's that simple. The New Testament is showing us over and over, as you have received Jesus Christ, walk in him. Which means, what do I do with my life? How do I walk with God? I don't know. What would Jesus do? I literally look at him. I'm looking at him for wisdom. Be careful that we don't think of the Bible primarily as like this, you know, long, big book of like how-tos on every single page. There is an apex, a climax of an example for us and what we ought to do, and that's the person of Jesus Christ himself. What the apostles say about him, what Scripture points toward him, his actual life, he himself. So you see it in phrases, how do we walk with God? Passages like Colossians 2:6, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Walk like him. Walk with God by following the example of Jesus Christ. If he prays, pray. If he's kind, be kind. If he's forgiving, be forgiving. Constantly we see the apostles going, this is what Jesus is like, therefore that's what you ought to be. Look at Christ. You're confused about your life. You don't know how to go to work. You don't know what to do. You know how to think about marriage. Look at Jesus. Someone's abusing you. Someone's being rude to you. You might need to call the police. But you also need to look at Jesus. What would Jesus do? That's what it means to walk with God. Follow Christ. Finally, pray. What it means to walk with God, let me just encourage you to pray. In walking with God, we talk to him. I mentioned our walks with Colette. Sometimes we go on walks, and I mean, we talk the entire time, or one of us talks the entire time. I have a capacity to go on a very long walk and not say a word. You might think I'm a psycho. I love it. I love it. Well, in our walk with God, we got to talk to him. Talk to him. Friends, let me just ask you if you've been praying. Church, have you been praying? Have you been talking to God? Or have you tried to just be silently walking with him? Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Jesus went away praying in Luke chapter 11. When he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus then taught his disciples, it's us, how to pray. He begins the Lord's Prayer simply, Father, revere God as your Father. Go to God and speak to him personally. As a heavenly spiritual father. Have you talked to God like that lately, personally? As if you're walking with him and talking to him, that you call him Father? Or maybe do you start all of your prayers with Father? But it just kind of sounds like the thing that you start your prayer with? For Jesus, it was intimate. For Jesus, it was radical to call God your Father. Can you go to God and talk to him like a father and call him Father? I need to talk to you. Father, hallowed be your name. God, I don't move real quick around you and your name. Your name is revered. Your name is holy. Your reputation on the earth. As I call upon you, as Seth did, I call upon you and your name. It is a severe thing, a wonderful thing, a holy thing. Your name is revered upon the earth. I go into prayer. There's a weight to it. Your kingdom come. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Pray always with God's kingdom first in your mind. Not Cain's city, but God's kingdom. Not the things that I want and need in my flesh, my desires, but God's kingdom first as best for me. Give us each day our daily bread. God, give me what I need today. No complaining about what I didn't have yesterday. Trusting that you will give me what I need tomorrow. Just like Israel in the 40 years in the desert, just God, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need today, today. I was talking with a brother this week, and it just struck me as we were talking, you can only eat today's bread anyway. You know that? You can't eat tomorrow's bread. It's not tomorrow, it's just today. But when you go to God, pray. God, give us what we need today. And ask God to forgive your sins. Put yourself in the position of God as holy and us who have sinned against God and ask God to forgive your sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. When you talk to God, ask God to help you forgive those who have sinned against you. Friends, if you're finding yourself unable to forgive others, bitter at others, frustrated at others, complaining about others, go to God in prayer and say, God, help me forgive them. Remembering that I have been forgiven by you. So often the writing of a relationship between you and someone in your life is not that they need to pay some debt to restore the relationship, but that you would actually forgive their debt. Forgive them. Lead us not into temptation. Seek help from God. God, help me. God, protect me. God, keep me from laziness. Keep me from darkness. Keep me from lust. Keep me from my own sin, from my own flesh. God, please help me. Care for me. Watch over me. This is fundamental to what it means to walk with God as we see exemplified in Christ's life, to pray. Are you the people? This is what Seth did. He called upon the name of the Lord. Enoch walked with God. They had a relationship with God. That's my God. I worship him. I walk with him. I talk with him. These are the only two categories of people in the whole world. Those who worship him, those who walk with him. Finally, those who wait for God. Worship God, walk with God, and finally, wait for God. Look in Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 through 29. The third of those characters in this passage of which we have the most information. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord had cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hand. This is one thing I didn't think about over the years before. We learned about Noah in Genesis 5, not Genesis 6. Noah is first a relief to those who've been living the 1,000 years between Adam and Noah. Those people from the line of Seth to Noah saw him. He was proclaimed and prophesied as a relief to them and a relief to mankind going forward. The name Noah is homophonic for rest, the Hebrew word for rest. That's why Noah was given his name. Verse 29, he called his name Noah, saying, meaning because out of the ground the Lord had cursed, this one shall bring us rest, which sounds like Noah or relief. This is showing us that this first 1,000 years was partly characterized by waiting for the Lord to do something. Constantly trusting the Lord, constantly calling upon the Lord, walking with God in every generation, but along every single generation, waiting, 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 waiting. Every name in the genealogy of Genesis 5, waiting for God, waiting for God. And then one day, there's a man whose name was Rest. And he has come to give us rest. And how that happens, we're going to see in the epic in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, beginning next week. But here we learn first, these generations of people in Genesis 5 are waiting for rest, waiting for God to do something about the curse on the ground. Noah's going to bring us relief. But here's what it's like walking with God. There's never a time between Genesis and the very end in Revelation. There's never a time when God's people are not waiting for him. Never a time when God's people are not waiting for him. Just run your mind really quickly. Genesis through Exodus, there we are in Egypt. There we are on the way to the promised land. There we are in the promised land. There we are in exile. Christ has come, and here we are waiting, 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 waiting. That's the whole point of Genesis or Hebrews chapter 11. We're all waiting until the very end. As this first generation was characterized walking with God by faith, they waited until the day of Noah. And when Noah came, rest came. A new creation came. Walk with God and know that rest is coming. Noah's coming. But for us, Christ is coming again. Restitution is coming. Recompense for every wrong is coming. Justice is coming. Worship God. Walk with God. Wait for God. This is what it means to be a part of the people of God, from Seth to Enoch, and looking at Noah and to us. So who are you? Who are you? NBC and Ancestry.com partnered together to put together a show called Who Do You Think You Are? You've seen this? They take celebrities and they trace their family history that they don't know anything about so that they can figure out who they are. Some find that their ancestors were slaves, and it causes great sorrow. Some find out that their ancestors were slave owners. It causes great embarrassment. Others find out that immigrants came to New York City, descendants of famous murderers. If you could trace your spiritual DNA, where does it go back to? The city of Cain and its flesh and looking at the world with your eyes? Or does it go back to Seth and calling on the name of the Lord? Does it go back to Enoch and walking with God? Just imagine how excited people get if they were to find out that they were part of the royal family in Britain. Oh, maybe like 15 years ago, they'd be really excited. Maybe to find out that your great-great-grandfather was the president of the United States. You begin to feel like you're someone. And I don't tell many people this, but here we go, and I'll tell you now. My dad got an account on Ancestry.com years ago. We found out a great descendant of ours, John Loudon, is recorded as having fought in the Revolutionary War. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, just, you know, I stand a little taller. I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm a descendant of John Loudon. Well, of course, I married Colette. She has to outdo everything that I do and make it better. She is a daughter of the Revolution, formally, officially. One of her great ancestors, Hopkinsons, signed the Declaration of Independence. Makes you feel like you're somebody, doesn't it? I wonder who my ancestors are. I wonder who my people are. I wonder if I matter in the earth. Maybe I'm a nobody. Maybe you're abandoned by your parents or you're adopted. You don't even know. As honoring or as discouraging or as embarrassing as anything in our earthly genealogy might be, all of a sudden when we're reading Genesis 5, I think about my life differently. You ought to think about your life differently. I'll just be happy if I could be listed like Mahalalel. What's that? That name just means praise. That's the only thing we know about this guy. And Jared, Methuselah, who are these people? We don't know anything about them. But we got their names in the lineage of those who walked with God and called upon the name of God. That's all I want. That's not what you want. I just want to die. And they can say, who is this guy? This is Bill. He walked with God. That's all I need. Call upon the name of the Lord. Walk with the Lord in faith. Wait for him. If you need be, let everything else about you be forgotten. Let me close in prayer. Thank you, God, for your kindness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That while we were wandering the earth, building our own cities, walking in our flesh, you sent your Son, manifested your love for us to die for us. We pray that you might help us today leave here saying, I will worship God. I will call upon him. I'm going to go home and pray today and talk to him. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with God. I want to obey him. I want to walk in his ways and his likeness. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to be living in sin. God, help me wait. Help us as a church wait. As we walk with God, continuing that burden in our chest, which everyone in the line of faith has felt from the beginning, waiting. I know, Father, we're so close. How much closer are we than Seth? How much closer are we than Enoch, and Noah, Moses to the day when Jesus returns and all waiting for the people of God. We wait. Help us worship. Help us walk while we wait.